Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery in just a moment. This is the final reminder I can give you, because we will not be on the air tomorrow with Gamecocks baseball going on. We won't be with you until Monday. And by then, I can already tell you now, the summer golf tour for next week will be sold out by the time we're on the air Monday. So consider this your final warning. Next Monday, 8 a.m., week 5 of our 2021 summer golf tour goes on sale at 8 a.m. for a foursome at Stono Ferry for just $98.9. Get your foursome for Stono Ferry 98.9 starting at 8 a.m. next week. CharlestonSportsRadio.com for more information in the meantime, or starting at 8 a.m. next week to go purchase your foursome. Monday morning, 8 a.m. at CharlestonSportsRadio.com. All right, so every week we catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery. They're getting back to it tomorrow night, first game in almost 2 weeks. They'll be at home tomorrow night, Patriots Point, 7 o'clock start against LA Galaxy. Looking for their first win of the year. And joining us now is Robbie Crawford, a midfielder for the Charleston Battery. He's with us now. Robbie, good afternoon. How are you?
How's it going, Morrow? Yeah, all good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate the time. How have things been going so far? Three games into the year. You guys will be playing tomorrow against LA Galaxy. How has the start of the season gone for you so far?
Yeah, I mean, so far the results haven't exactly been what we were looking for, but I mean, we have new guys in the team. We've lost a couple of big players to injury, so we're just kind of adapting the best we can, but I think performances have been fine, and we're definitely looking for that first win tomorrow.
You're back with the team after coming to Charleston last year. What is it like in year two? You know, obviously you don't have to worry about the pandemic as much now. How is it in year two compared to last year when you first came to the Battery?
Yeah, last year was obviously pretty unique for everyone. So first year, pretty much as soon as I got here, went into lockdown. So it's nice this year. Things are starting to open up a little bit, experience the city a little bit more, and just enjoy what Charleston has to offer. So yeah, so far so good.
Yeah, and you're you know, originally from Scotland, and as I understand it, when you signed last year and you came, did you fly directly from Scotland right to Atlanta for the season opener last year?
That's right, yeah. So I flew back to London and then back home and then to the embassy, and my flight got cancelled, and then managed to get a few flights and made it to Atlanta for the first game, and then lockdown happened that week. So I just snuck into the country before lockdown. So yeah, it was pretty eventful, but I was definitely glad to make it.
Yeah, talk about jumping right in. So you get there, you get right to Atlanta, season starting, you play, and then after, you know, not even a week, now things are getting shut down because of this pandemic. So I'm sure when you look at this year compared to last year, right, I'm sure it's a little more calmer for you, a little smoother to get ready for this year instead of, you know, flying from Scotland to Atlanta, playing a game, having a pandemic start. I'm sure you could focus a little bit more on soccer now.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely the target, just to have obviously a lot more games this year. Hopefully see a lot more of the country, and most importantly results. That's all we really care about, just back to winning ways. So hopefully when all that starts to happen, we can definitely enjoy this year a little bit more than all the craziness of last year.
Yeah, talking with Robbie Crawford from the Charleston Battery. So when things did shut down last year, you know, how did that work for you with your family still in Scotland, it seems? You know, were you, for lack of a better term, were you stuck here until, I don't know, maybe till today? Have you been able to, you know, during the offseason, during the shutdown, were you able to go see your family, or were you here in Charleston throughout the whole pandemic?
Yeah, so last year was just on in Charleston the whole time, and then managed to get back home in November time. So I was home for a good few months, saw the family, caught up as best we could. Restrictions were pretty heavy back home, but nice to see enough of them home for Christmas, and then came back out to Charleston in March. So, yeah, been back here for a couple of months, and just been nice to focus on training and playing and getting back out there.
Yeah, and you've had time to focus because you guys haven't played in 12 days now. You last played on May 23rd yep. against the New York Red Bulls 2, and now you play tomorrow night against the LA Galaxy 2. I never played sports professionally, but even just playing sports growing up, right? Nobody likes practice. You want to play games. So what has it been like for you and the team to go here almost 2 weeks without a game? You must be dying to get back out there tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it. We, especially after a kind of, we tied against New York, but we obviously would have liked to have won, so it's always nice to play as soon as you can after you don't get the win. But I think it's been good for us. We had a lot of sessions under our belt, came together, spoke about a few things that were not quite working for us, and hopefully we can put that into practice tomorrow in the game.
Yeah, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock against LA Galaxy. You know, because of the pandemic last year, you can only play a handful of teams. This year, you haven't played the Galaxy just yet, fourth game of the year. What do you know about this team? What do you know about the LA Galaxy squad that's coming to Charleston to play you guys tomorrow?
Yep, like you said, we've had a couple of weeks to prepare and done our research. We know that they're, any second team is going to be mostly younger guys, so they're going to have a lot of energy, desperate to impress, but we know they've got a lot of technical players, quite quick. They like to take chances, so hopefully we can capitalize on that. We just try to focus on our own game. We know what we're capable of when it all comes together. So, but obviously at the same time, we need to be aware of the threats they pose.
When you talk about focusing on your own game, what has that emphasis been on the past 2 weeks getting ready for this? What's something either you individually or the team you've been working on to get ready to get back to action tomorrow?
Yeah. I feel like we were just not really doing what worked for us last year when it came to winning, like sticking together and being really difficult to break down. And then I think we've come together and just tried to be a little bit more solid, a little bit more compact, and make it more difficult for the teams to create chances against us. And then we know we've got enough quality to score goals at the other end. So mostly just trying to put those things into action.
In American football, we talk about the bye weeks where you have a week off and teams will talk, it's coming at a good time, it's coming at a bad time. You know, if you're playing well, maybe you don't want to take that week off from not playing. Whereas if you're not playing well, maybe you look forward to it because you get that extra week to get ready for your future games. For you in the battery, I'm not saying you guys haven't played well. You'll take a tie on the road against the New York Red Bulls. You tied them again the second time here at home. But through three games, the way you've played so far, did you think that this break of these 12 days in between games, did this come at a good time, or were you hoping to get right back out there and get that first win after tying the New York Red Bulls? Or do you prefer a little time off to work on some things and now really get going?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of both. Like I said, if you don't win one game, it's nice to have one straight away where you can just put it behind you and get back to winning. But I feel like the break came at a pretty good time for us. We had a couple of guys with a couple of little injuries. Jared's back tomorrow, hopefully. I feel like it did come at a good time, and we'll find out tomorrow. But so far, we think we've had a good couple of weeks training, and definitely ready to go.
Talking with Robbie Crawford from the Charleston Battery, they get ready to play the LA Galaxy 2 tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Patriots Point. I believe some tickets are still available, so head over to charlestonbattery.com to get tickets while you can. It's always a fun experience going to those games. What has it been like, Robbie? Because, again, last year was your first year. It was such a unique season, for the most part, not playing in front of fans. What has it been like now? The last two games have been at home, and to be able to experience more of that home field environment with fans returning to the games.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. Obviously, that's what you want to do as a player. You want to play in front of as many fans as you can. I think we sold out the last two games, so hopefully it's the same again tomorrow. The crowd really stuck behind us. You can definitely feel the energy. I know the ownership has put a lot of thought and effort into making it as good an experience as it can be for them. So, and having spoken to a lot of the fans, I feel like they've enjoyed themselves, and a few more wins will definitely add to that as well.
Yeah, and looking online, it actually does look like tomorrow is sold out as well. So it should be a good environment, a good home crowd tomorrow for the Battery against the LA Galaxy as we talk with Robbie Crawford. How much experience have you had prior to coming to Charleston? I believe you played for North Carolina FC for a little bit. How much time had you spent here in the States prior to coming to Charleston about a year ago?
Yeah, so I had a three-week tryout at NCFC a few years ago. Didn't work out for whatever reason. But before that, you know, I'd had a couple of preseason trips with my club in Scotland. We came over here, a couple of holidays with the family. So, yeah, I've experienced my fair share, I guess. But Charleston's definitely going to be hard to beat if I was to hit another city in the U.S. It's been a really nice place.
Yeah, I'm always interested in the opinion of, say, an outsider, somebody coming here to experience the country. You know, you said you came here on vacation with the family. Where were some of the places that you wanted to, as a family, you wanted to come see when you came to visit?
We went to New York for a week or so, and down in Orlando, Disneyland in Florida. So, yeah, those are two pretty popular places to come for.
Yeah, of course.
For British people, yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think of New York City?
It was cool, yeah. I mean, just always something going on. It was pretty lively, especially coming from a pretty small town back home. It was quite a sight, but, you know, we went there a couple of weeks ago to play the Red Bulls, and it was nice, but, yeah, as I say, I'm definitely into the Charleston vibes, preferred.
I've never been to Scotland. I really don't know much about Scotland, to be honest with you. Is there anything remotely close in Scotland that could compare to New York City at all?
Nah, I can't even say that it does. I mean, Glasgow is our biggest city. That's the place I'm closest to. But nah, nowhere really compares to New York. Although I would recommend visiting Scotland. Yeah, I'm sure you'll have a good time.
I would love to. I haven't seen enough of the world, certainly. Growing up in Scotland, it was soccer. You know, what other sports did you play? Was it just soccer all the time? Were you into some other sports growing up?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I could walk, I was trying to kick soccer ball, to be honest. Two big brothers, a dad that loved soccer, so that was all it was. I mean, I ran cross-country. I was pretty good at that. I was actually Scottish champion, now you mention it, when I was like 12 or 13, but I just had too much love for soccer. So, yeah, that was always number one.
Yeah, and it's worked out pretty well for you. Talking about Robbie Crawford from the Charleston Battery. Okay, I do have to ask you before we let you go. You also played in Iceland, right? What was this team that you played for? How do you even say the name of this team?
I don't want to embarrass myself. We just called them FH. They just go by their initials. It's a lot easier.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So it was, yeah, me and Zico Lewis on the team, we ended up playing for the same team pretty randomly, and then to play over here together is, just shows what a small world soccer world is. But, it's definitely one extreme to the other, going from Iceland to Charleston. But, it's been a journey.
Yeah, I can imagine. So does that help when you have that, that familiarity with a teammate that you played before? That I can imagine. Look, I've moved around, but only in this country. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine what it's like to come from another country, to come here to the United States, to be a professional soccer player, you know, to come play here somewhere far away from your family. I can imagine that could be scary for some people. Did it help that you have a familiar face here in Charleston with somebody that you played with before?
Yeah, it definitely helps. Zico and I actually ran together last year, so we spent a lot of time together, and it definitely just having that familiar face, can ask questions to, you know, what the coach is like, what training's like, the city, just, yeah, all those things definitely help. Especially last year during the pandemic, it was a lot to get used to, but he was definitely a big help. And we had another guy who was also on the team in Iceland, excuse me. So it was pretty funny that three of us end up in Charleston together during the pandemic.
Could they say the name of the team any better than you could, or does everybody struggle with that?
I think if I was to guess, Zico would probably be worse than me at saying it. So Yeah, maybe I'll get practicing. I'll get it nailed for next time.
I mean, you look at the high schools or even the teams here around here, everyone's either the Eagles, the Bulldogs. We got to come up with a more simple name for these teams in Iceland so that you can actually refer to the team you play for. Before we let you go, Robbie Crawford of the Charleston Battery. Last question I'll ask you before we let you go. I know, obviously, you're into the soccer season. Season's going on right now. But as you said, things have opened up a little bit more around here. You've spent some time in Charleston. What has become, outside of the home crowd at Patriots Point, what has become your favorite part about being here in Charleston?
Ooh, that's a good question. There's so much to see. I mean, I really like Isle of Man Beach. So it's a nice place to go after training, chill out. Downtown, King Street, the Battery area. It's just wherever you go, really, there's going to be something to see. It's a really impressive city. I know my family are desperate to come out and visit after how much I talk it up, so hopefully they get out soon and can see it for themselves.
Yeah, that would be great. If you go to the beach, are you like a surfer? Are you more just laying out and relaxing? What do you do at the beach? What's your style when you go to the beach?
I try to go in the evening, you know, this British skin can't really handle the intense heat too much, so
yeah.
I'll usually just walk along at night. Maybe get myself in there for a little bit of recovery, get in the water, but usually just chilling, walking along at night.
Hey, there you go. A good place to go wind down and recover as well. He's Robbie Crawford, midfielder of the Charleston Battery. They're playing. They're getting back to it tomorrow night against the LA Galaxy, number 2 at Patriots Point, 7 o'clock start. It's already sold out, so good luck getting tickets to a future game because it's hard to get these tickets. People love seeing the Battery, and they'll be looking for their first win tomorrow. Robbie, appreciate all the time, and the best of luck to you and the team the rest of the season.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Yeah, appreciate it. Robbie Crawford from the Charleston Battery. They're looking for that first win. Only if Super Dave. You know, Super Dave's got to look through that magic ball, come up with a prediction that the Battery get that first W tomorrow night against the LA Galaxy, number 2. I didn't even look at my notes. I was looking at the website. I should have looked at my notes to know that it's already sold out tomorrow night. Of course it is. Hard to get these tickets. And capacity's been increased by 500 fans. So they're around 60% capacity, and, you know, these tickets are flying off the shelves. Hopefully soon we can get to a point where they can get back to 100% because I know people are dying to go to these games. So 3 straight home games for the Battery. They've sold all 3 out well before the start of the games, and tomorrow night going up against LA Galaxy 2. And they have a young, talented squad, and they lead the league in scoring. So it's going to be an interesting matchup tomorrow night. The Battery have not played in 12 days since that draw against the New York Red Bulls. And as you know, we talked about with Robbie there, right? Sometimes when maybe the breaks aren't going your way, when you're off to not quite as good of a start as you want, you look towards, in football, American football, you look towards that bye week. You look forward to some time off. Basketball team struggling. They look forward to a break in their schedule to say, all right, we can get back in the gym and start practicing some things. And it's not to say the Battery have gotten off to some terrible start, but, you know, 3 games in, okay. Let's settle down here. We got 12 days. Let's decompress a little bit, work on some things, and now hopefully come back with a vengeance starting tomorrow night against the LA Galaxy. The next home game after tomorrow, because tomorrow's sold out. But if you're interested in going to see the Battery, your next opportunity will be Saturday, June 12th. Next Saturday, 7 o'clock against the New York Red Bulls, number 2. Those darn Red Bulls, always on the schedule. You can go get your tickets online, charlestonbattery.com. Appreciate the time from Robbie Crawford, and hopefully the Battery get that first win tomorrow night against LA Galaxy. Numero dos. Coming up, the best trios in college football this year. Which teams will have the best offensive trios in college football? It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
To the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, what will be the best trios in college football this year? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time last segment from Robbie Crawford of the Charleston Battery as they get back to it tomorrow night against LA Galaxy 2, 7 o'clock at Patriots Point. Already sold out. But you can still get tickets for future home games online at charlestonbattery.com as they continue to increase capacity as we continue to move forward, hopefully eventually at some point out of this pandemic. You see that they're going to offer, if we reach 70% vaccination rate by July 4th, the beer companies are going to offer like free beer for everyone for July 4th. Talk about quite the celebration. But right now as a country, we're at 41% fully vaccinated. So I don't think we're going to get to 70% by July 4th. But if people ever needed motivation, I don't know, free beer for July 4th, that sounds pretty good. That may motivate some people. But it is funny. I don't know if funny is the right term, but I do, you know, it's interesting. All these states and now companies offering these different reasons to go get vaccinated, these different things to tempt you or to reward you or different prizes. You could potentially, if you're in Ohio, you could win $1 million. All the people that left Ohio to come to South Carolina are thinking, man, if only I was still there, I could be entered in this lottery. I went and got vaccinated. All I got was some Atkins diet health bars from CVS. And that was enough. Those things are actually pretty good. Who will be the top trios in college football this year? 24/7 Sports put out their top 10 list. And instead of giving you my own list, I may just reorder some of the names or teams on this list and give you my thoughts. But their top 10 of the top 10 trios, and they took a quarterback, a running back, and a pass catcher, wide receiver, tight end, whoever it may be. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about trios in college football. Right, on offense, your quarterback, your running back, your wide receiver. Think Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin, right? You have those talented trios, what the Bills had back in the day. You need those trios. Top 10 trios in college football this year. This is according to 24/7 Sports. Number 10, they have Texas. They have UCF at number 9, and I'm not going to read off all 30 names for you. You probably won't even know most of these names anyways. So Texas, number 10, UCF, number 9. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, Matt Corral back at quarterback, they're number 8. They should have a good offense this year. Georgia, led by now JT Daniels, number 7. UNC, number 6 for top 10 trios. Iowa State, number 5. They're a trendy pick for the success they could have this year. Then you get to the top 4. And this I find interesting. Clemson is number 4 with DJ and Lynn J. Dixon and Justin Ross. Alabama is number 3. With all new players on their offense, having to replace their top two wide receivers, their running back, their quarterback, Bryce Young, the new quarterback. Ohio State is number 2. They return their running back and top receiver, but of course have to replace Justin Fields and will try to do so with C.J. Stroud. And Oklahoma is number 1, led by Spencer Rattler, who's back this year. My main takeaways from looking at this list, the most notable one is looking at the top of the list. First, starting with number 1 with Oklahoma. Many believe that Spencer Rattler will be the number 1 pick in next year's draft, that he will be the best quarterback this year. And if so, that may be enough. You have Lincoln Riley. You have a program that's known for their offense that have always been able to move the football. You have a quarterback returning who could be, if he takes that step forward, could be the best quarterback this year. And you have a conference that certainly lends itself to potent offenses. But behind Oklahoma, because not a ton of surprise there, what was surprising to me was the next 3 teams, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, are all replacing quarterbacks. And yet, at least in terms of trios, those are 3 of the top 4. And when you talk trios, you need those quarterbacks. Because it doesn't matter how good the wide receiver is, if you don't have a good quarterback, that can get them the football. When you look at this top 10 list, really it's driven by the quarterbacks. Right, whether it's Sam Howell, he'll be a top quarterback this year. JT Daniels should be a top quarterback this year. Matt Corral, people are calling him a sleeper Heisman candidate this year. Dylan Gabriel at UCF. Right, a lot of these teams, they're led. Yeah, they have talented running backs. They have talented wide receivers, but it's all about the quarterback. We know that in football these days. Even at the college level, you need a good enough quarterback to compete. And so when you look at the top 10 trios, and maybe that leads to the top offenses in the country this year, what I find interesting is that number 2, Ohio State, has a new quarterback that we haven't seen. Alabama has Bryce Young. They're number 3 in the list, who we've hardly seen. And we have seen DJ, but never in a role like this. Clemson's number 4. Now, Clemson will have to replace Travis Etienne with Lynn J. Dixon, but they do get Justin Ross back, and that should help. I think the Clemson wide receivers will actually be good this year. We've seen what DJ's capable of. The concern is mostly with the run game, because last year it struggled at times, especially when Trevor Lawrence was not playing. And now you lose Travis Etienne, a first-round draft pick, for whether it's Lynn J. Dixon or any of the other guys in that backfield that will have to step in that are not as good as ETN. But Clemson's number four with some questions. Alabama, Ohio State, these are the teams that, yeah, they should be the best teams in the country, but they also have some of the bigger questions because if their new quarterbacks don't work, they're not going to win a national championship. And these are programs that have built up enough stock that we always just assume it will. Right, we've seen enough from Alabama as they replace guys from Jalen Hurts to Tua to Mac Jones, and especially at the wide receiver position that, oh yeah, Bryce Young, he'll be fine, and he probably will be. He'll probably be a Heisman candidate. He'll turn himself into a first-round draft pick as well by the time he's done at Alabama. But we just haven't seen it yet, right? Those are the big questions. Like, is Bryce Young going to be as good as a Mac Jones or a Tua? Is C.J. Stroud going to be able to fill the shoes left by Justin Fields? Will DJ be good enough to replace Trevor Lawrence to a point that they could still go win a national championship? Those are the big questions. Now, these are some highly recruited guys that wind up at the best programs for a reason, because they're believed to be some of the best quarterbacks in the country. That's why they wind up at these schools. Plus, all the other resources around them will help, whether it's the coaching, whether it's even just the strength of schedule in certain cases, whether it's the wide receivers they're throwing to, the offensive line, that will also make these quarterbacks look better. But I do find it interesting that as you talk about the best offenses this year, the best trio, some of the best quarterbacks, at the top of that list, it's mostly made up of guys that we really haven't seen, guys that have a lot of question marks. But because of the programs they're playing at, we trust that, yeah, they're going to be really good. And history tells us we probably should, right? Ohio State has maybe not good NFL quarterbacks, but they've developed good college quarterbacks one after the other. Clemson has now gone from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence to what we think will be the next guy. Right, Alabama, like I said, Jalen Hurts to Tua to Mac Jones, all NFL-drafted quarterbacks. Bryce Young will probably have the same success. But I've said on the show before, if there was ever a year for parity in college football, if there was ever a year for some surprises, this could be the year. I don't think it will be, but it could be. Because hypothetically speaking, Ohio State, their new quarterback, maybe he doesn't work out. Maybe he's not ready. Maybe he's not nearly as good as Justin Fields, right? Bryce Young at Alabama, same idea. Maybe he's not nearly as good as the last couple of quarterbacks. DJ taking over as the starter with the Clemson. Maybe he won't be able to replace Trevor Lawrence well enough as the full-time starter. And those are the big questions in college football. It's safe to assume these guys are all going to work out, and they probably will. But if there was ever a year for parity, it could be this year. And I just found it interesting that we already give them the benefit of the doubt. We already assume, yeah, these guys are going to be the best quarterbacks in the country. And they probably will. But to already assume it before seeing most of these guys. And I think it's more about the program than it is about the actual players themselves. Now, for Ohio State, for C.J. Stroud, I mean, you're getting your top running back, but, you know, you're getting a lot of pieces. Your receivers are coming back. Alabama, meanwhile, you're remaking the whole offense. New offensive coordinator with Bill O'Brien. And when I say remaking the whole offense, I'm talking about personnel. Right? You're bringing in, you're going to have new wide receivers step up, a new running back, new quarterback, a couple new guys on the offensive line, new offensive coordinator, and they're number three on the list. And Clemson, their biggest question, other than, I guess, the quarterback, but at least we've seen him before, is can they get the same production in the run game as when Travis Etienne was there? Elsewhere on this list, Iowa State is number five on this list, and it's the main reason why many believe Iowa State could be a playoff team this year, because they are returning so much. They're bringing back their quarterback, their number one rusher, their number one wide receiver, and they have potential all-conference guys at quarterback, tight end, and in the backfield. So they're bringing back some experience. They can score points. They have a good coach. That's why they're five on this list and why many believe Iowa State could be one of those sleepers that maybe they're the team that comes out of the Big 12 and represents the conference as the fourth spot in the playoff this year. But two other teams to certainly focus on. UNC is sixth on this list, which I found a little surprising because they are returning a quarterback in Sam Howell. And it's, as I referenced earlier this week, that expressions about the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, something along those lines. We don't know about the quarterbacks just yet at Ohio State, Alabama, and even Clemson. We can assume, and maybe there's safe assumptions to make, but we know Sam Howell is pretty darn good. We know Sam Howell should be one of the best quarterbacks in the country this year. He should be a top pick at the quarterback position a year from now. And sure, UNC lost their top two wide receivers. But when you talk about really good quarterback play, right, good quarterbacks make wide receivers better. And he'll have his entire offensive line returning. He is back, obviously. Sam Howell is. UNC's been building in the 2 years under Mac Brown. They've gotten better each year. That offense has been potent. I think Sam Howell will have a big year. I think UNC is that number two team in the ACC, and offensively could be one of the best in the country. Six may still be a fair spot for them because there could be a lot of good offenses. Right? Will UNC have a better offense than Ohio State, Alabama, or Clemson? Maybe not. Georgia is the other one, too, that they're seventh on this list and second in the SEC behind Alabama. And I think Georgia will have the best quarterback in the SEC in JT Daniels. They just added a couple of transfers, including a five-star recruit tight end that has played in the SEC before that could be one of the better tight ends. Now, the George Pickens is a big loss for Georgia, their wide receiver, but they have a lot of offensive firepower, and I think JT Daniels will be really good for Georgia. They're seventh on this list. And JT Daniels, and without Pickens, there's a few questions around that offense. But that offense has the chance to be really good. JT Daniels will be one of the Heisman favorites, and even their running back, White, should have a really good year. It could be an explosive offense. So looking at the top 10 trios in college football, that's what stood out to me. But what was most interesting is just the fact that outside of Oklahoma at number one, the next three teams are the usual suspects, Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson. But they all have a lot of questions. And we assume they're going to answer those questions really just because of who they are. And I imagine it is a safe assumption. But there are some big questions surrounding the most important programs in college football for this upcoming season. 24/7 Sports, their top 10 trios, Oklahoma 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, Clemson 4, Iowa State 5. We'll see how things play out this year. When we come back, it's been a couple of weeks since we've had a wrestling wrap-up. Joe, do we have a wrestling wrap-up that's ready to go?
Yes, we do.
All right. The people have been they've been waiting for weeks. Oh, the amount of hate mail I've gotten for the past 3 weeks asking for the wrestling wrap-up. We'll get to it when we come back. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Mara Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, our wrestling wrap-up for the first time in 3 weeks. I know you've been waiting for it. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I do have to tell you about Liar Leaves Dry Cleaners. Now they're to-go service that can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, and casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. Call or text them, 843-377-6994 to schedule a free pickup. You can even track your dry cleaning and see exactly when it'll be ready or delivered. And the best part, mention that you heard about Lyra Lee's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston and get 20% off your next order. Lyra Lee's Dry Cleaners, now their to-go service. I was talking earlier about movies that maybe cannot be made today, or at least not made the same way because of technology. Right, no longer can Superman, can Clark Kent go into a phone booth and change. He's got to find another place. But we can be thankful for technology when it comes to dry cleaning. Right now, they pick it up. They deliver it to you. You can track it on your phone. You don't have to go to the dry cleaners anymore. None of that stuff. Nope, none of that. You don't have to worry about that. They deliver it right to you, and they pick up your clothes, and it looks all good, and you're ready to go. Thank you, technology. All right, it's been 3 weeks since we've had one of these because Joe was out for a couple of weeks. But every Thursday, we do our wrestling wrap-up because Wednesday was the big night in wrestling. Now there's wrestling on every night, but you know, I'm a man of tradition, so every Thursday we do it. Joe gets us caught up on what's going on in the wrestling world. It's our Wednesday wrestling wrap-up.
It's time.
Look at this!
For Producer Joe's...
He's got the fans behind him!
Wednesday wrestling wrap-up.
It's like a dream come true.
Right here.
He's all fired up now.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
And if they're smart, they'll listen. So what are we waiting for?
Some pay-per-views coming up. The NWA presents When Our Shadows Fall this Sunday on the Fight TV app. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the following weekend is going to be a big weekend. On Saturday, Impact presents Against All Odds on June 12th. And then NXT presents Takeover In Your House on June 13th.
All right.
So Okay, and then, of course, with when our shadows fall, the NWA will allow a limited number of fans to attend, so things are slowly getting back to what they should be.
Yeah, that's good.
Of course, the big one was this past weekend, AEW's Double or Nothing, which you touched on some of that yesterday, with Urban Meyer and Charlie Strong playing a small part in the stadium match.
Yeah.
Yeah, between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. Of course, the one title change from that came with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, yes, she is a legitimate dentist, now when she's not wrestling, defeated Hikaru Shida for the World Women's Championship. Hmm. Okay, and then also a big pop for Sting from the backstage crew for his performance in the tag team match. He's 62 years old, and that was his first full match.
Wow.
You know, live match since 2015.
Wow.
So he's still got it.
Hey, good. That was my guy, my favorite wrestler back in the day.
Okay, and also there's been, with Britt Baker, somebody put together like a little fan thing on Twitter showing her and Impact Knockouts champion Deonna Purrazzo. So, and, of course, Baker retweeted this. So could there be teasing a future match between these two since AEW and Impact has a working relationship?
Oh, how about that?
The big news this week, the number of high-profile releases from this week. Among those released, Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, Lana Murphy, Ruby Riott, and NXT performer Santana Garrett. Garrett was supposed to make her debut on SmackDown pretty soon, but no, she was let go.
Yeah, that's too bad. I was surprised. I'm a very casual wrestling fan, but even I know Braun Strowman. I was surprised to see he was released.
Okay, also... a Raw announcer, Adnan Virk, who'd only been on the job for a month, he's gone.
Yes, I saw that as well.
As is longtime announcer Todd Phillips.
Oh.
Okay, and all these releases are fueling some internet speculation about a possible sale to Comcast, Disney, or maybe even Fox.
Ooh, that'd be something.
Now, here's a good one from Tama Tonga of Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
He actually thanked New Japan for keeping all those guys on the payroll through the pandemic.
Yeah,
so
that's
showing
good.
Some gratitude there.
Yeah.
You know, when you see something like this happening.
Yeah, it was nice. Certain companies in various industries, when they were able to do that, make sure you know they were still trying to take care of their employees. That's always appreciated.
Now we're going to shift back to AEW and WWE. And who shows up on a at Double or Nothing?
Who?
Mark Henry.
Oh!
Yeah, he is going to be the new analyst for the new show Rampage coming up. And okay, and he's going to actually make his debut on Friday Night Dynamite this week because, of course, it's usually on Wednesday, but they're having it on Friday this week because of the NBA playoffs.
Oh, yes, makes sense.
And another one making his debut at Double or Nothing was former WWE and AAA Cruiserweight Champion and Major League Wrestling Middleweight Champion Lio Rush because he was in the big Battle Royal that they had. That was the Casino Battle Royal.
Oh, nice.
And also is there a possibility of Poppy pursuing an in-ring career, such as just like Bad Bunny did earlier this year when he appeared at WrestleMania? If you haven't heard her music, then maybe you have, because her song Say Cheese is the current theme for NXT.
Oh, how about that?
Okay, and between now and then, have a slamming good time.
All right. Long time coming. Our wrestling ramp-up for the first time in about 3 weeks. People were clamoring for it. I saw a video the other day of Ric Flair, who is 72 years old. He's on vacation with his daughter and her, I think he's a fiance, right? Charlotte, I think it must be Charlotte Flair, who's also a wrestler. Anyways, Ric Flair is with his future son-in-law. He gets suplexed into the pool, 72 years old. The guy can't get away from it. On vacation, they looked like they were in some tropical place. I have no idea, some sort of resort. And he gets suplexed right into the water, right into the pool, 72 years old.
Yeah, by Andrade.
Yeah, is that what, Charlotte Flair?
Yeah, Charlotte Flair is his daughter. Andrade is her fiance.
Yeah. So he's a wrestler.
Yeah, he's
as
a professional wrestler.
Okay.
He was actually released by WWE earlier this year.
Oh, but boy.
He was kind of pursuing a release because, he was still getting paid, but his career was just going nowhere there.
But man, Flair can't get away from it. Couple of wrestlers.
And he's been doing those commercials for, what is it? One of those insurance companies that supposedly will continue to. Pay for your car repairs or something like that.
Ric Flair has?
Yes.
I don't think I've seen him. He should be doing, it's like he reminds me of in Along Came Polly when Ben Stiller's character is working for the insurance company and he's trying to figure out if they can insure Leland, I forget his last name, And, you know, he base jumps off of buildings. The guy is so crazy, they can't give him health insurance. That reminds me of Ric Flair. He's doing insurance companies. This guy. And then Ric Flair could use some real insurance throughout his life, his crazy lifestyle. Now getting suplexed into pools at 72 years old on vacation. Just relax.
But at least it's a pool.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I don't know, when you hit that water hard enough, right, that can hurt. When you ever do a belly flop, now for him it's on his back. But, you know, it's not like just jumping into water. You get slammed on top of water like that.
Well, it depends on the height and hitting it at just the right angle.
Yeah. So good for him. Still taking bumps at 72, even on vacation. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour two here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Hey, they announced this morning, this seemed to come out of nowhere. They announced that the USFL is coming back, apparently, next spring. Fox Sports bought the USFL, and they're bringing it back with all the original teams and colors and logos and names, all that sort of stuff. So the XFL's trying to come back, like, for a third time. And next spring, we apparently will have the USFL as well. Were you ever into the USFL back in the day, Joe?
I watched some of it.
Did you have a team that you rooted for?
No, I just kind of casually watched it. Like I said, I've always been more of a college football fan.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how this goes. They want to keep trying the spring football idea. So welcome back maybe the L.A. Express and the New Jersey Generals and the Tampa Bay Bandits, the Houston Gamblers. We'll see which teams they bring back and how that goes. But the USFL is coming back. So for those that loved it back in the 80s, you're getting your league back. You can join the conversation throughout the afternoon, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones. Errol is with us. Errol, what's going on? How are you?
Luke, all right, buddy. You was talking about my main man, my childhood hero, the nature boy, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
I tell you what, back in the days, my friends used to argue who was the bigger wrestling star, Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair. And I tell you what, Hulk Hogan doesn't have a rap song named after him. Ric Flair has a song named after him called Ric Flair Drip, and he's in the video. It's by 21 Savage and Offset. And these kids, they are in their 20s. So Ric is transcending through generations. His Ric Flair was swagger before swagger was in the American lexicon in pop culture.
That's right.
I want to get your take on Brad Stevens as the GM and Danny Ainge out. Do you think he's still going to be coaching?
No. I'm surprised that Brad Stevens wanted to go to the front office. I don't know how long he'll be there because I still see him as a coach. And especially,
I think it's like a cop-out. I don't know. The Kyrie Irving, the man can coach. What he did with Butler, if Butler had a legitimate big on that team against Duke, Butler would have a national championship. I don't think – maybe he should go back to the college rank. You know, I don't know. I think he's a great coach.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that is the next move. With all these jobs coming open at the college level, I thought he'd be interested in one of those. Maybe not this offseason, but a year from now. But it does kind of seem like one of those – I know he's getting a promotion, but almost like a half firing by the Celtics.
Right, yeah, kind of backdoor, you know. Yeah, it don't seem right.
No, instead of completely getting rid of him, they'll move him to the front office, but they want to get a new coach in there, and we'll see how long it lasts. He has said all the right things. Brad Stevens said, he just wants to be part of the organization, but I see him more as a coach. I mean, he's only 44. He's got a long career still. I think he'll be coaching somewhere soon.
Thanks, Luke.
I appreciate it as always, Harold. We'll actually get more into that coming up in a little bit, next hour, the Brad Stevens deal. But because I have a Seinfeld reference for every story, you know, when Elaine was running the catalog and she kept promoting the guy that was wearing the fatigues. Eddie, right? Eddie in the fatigues. She kept promoting him, giving him better jobs to get him out of situations. She didn't want him in the mailroom. Then he was writing for the catalog, and she didn't want to be working with him that closely anymore. So she kept promoting him until he became like the VP of the company. It's kind of like this, getting demoted upwards, if that makes sense. I don't know what the proper term is, but it's like a half firing. Like, we don't want you to coach anymore, but we also don't want to get rid of you. We'll move you into the front office. I don't know how much he'll truly be running the team, but he won't be the coach. He won't be running the team on the sidelines. Hour 3 next. More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.